exactly 15 minutes past 7. Good morning, Rise and Shine. Time to get out of bed. We are UJFM Breakfast. So, yesterday, on my way to do the show, there was some protest action that was happening outside of Wits University.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, we found out that this is a Fees Must Fall protest.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your take on Fees Must Fall movement?
For me, I'm a bit torn.
Between the two.
Between the two. Firstly, okay.
So, to qualify for university, you gotta attain a certain mark, right?
Yes.
When we say fees must fall, do we mean grades must fall as well?
I was about to go there. That's why I was saying that I'm torn. You know,
yeah.
On the one hand, yes, Jacob Zuma, thank you for saying fees must fall and so on and so forth. That's good. That's a good idea. But at the same time, are we getting what these fees must fall rewards? You know, the fees must fall can fall, but the government is just giving money to students who are not even getting proper A's. Do you get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm saying that I'm torn. Yes, I agree with it, but at the same time, we are using money that we can use it for something else. And I know it sounds ugh, but we can use that money for something else. But we're giving it to students who are not passing with the proper marks.
No, this is why I wanted to open up this can of worms this morning. Because I wanted to find out, where do we stand? Where do you stand as an individual? Andy, you're a recipient of NASFAS, or as people would say, NFSASS.
I hate it. I hate that one.
Pronounced NASFAS, by the way, just so you know. We're broadcasting from a university. We know it's NASFAS, not NFSASS.
You know. NFSASS. No. Look, so I think NASFAS has done some good work, but with regards to the fees must fall movement, I think it was necessary, you know, back, I think when it happened in 2015, I think that's when it started. And I think it was necessary because at the time, it was quite exclusionary because there was the issue of the missing medal as well, which I don't know if it's actually been fully resolved, where you're not poor enough to qualify for NASFAS, but you're also too rich, but at the same time, you're not rich enough to be able to get like your own maybe study loan or whatever, you know. So I do think that there have been some good changes in how NASFAS operates. For example, a big one that I give a shout out to them for doing is stopping the whole card system and giving students cash. There were complaints coming through from people like the DA about that, but I disagree with their reasoning. Their reasoning was, oh no, if you don't put the money on a card, they're going to go and spend it at Liquor City or some other bottle store or whatever. They're going to just drink the money. But I think it comes from a very... It shows your ignorance if that's what you think, because a lot of money that students get who are on NASFAS goes as remittances back home. So if they're getting $1,000 for food, they may actually send half of that back home because people back home are struggling as well. And also it helped with textbooks, because I remember how I'd have to spend a budget of $5,000 on textbooks, and for certain courses that money wasn't enough. You couldn't have a blanket approach of saying everyone gets the same money because courses aren't the same, whereas now they can get secondhand books, you know. So I think NASFAS has done well, but I think more needs to be done. So the frustrations from the Asinama Ali movement or Fees Must Fall movement, I think they are valid, although credit must be given. Yeah.
Alright. I remember seeing the vice chancellor of Wits University talking on ENCA a couple of years ago when the first batch of Fees Must Fall marches happened. And I stand to be corrected.
Mm-hmm.
But I think to run a university as big as Wits is in the region of about 6 billion rand.
Yeah, that's possibly true. I mean, yeah. Universities are expensive.
I mean, you take into account all the professors, all the research that they do. All the courses that they offer, the maintenance of the buildings, Wits is massive.
Yeah, it is massive.
Think about it.
Massive. Yeah, I can agree that.
I mean, you could enter Wits from, well, what's this area called? Auckland Park, and then exit in Brom.
Yeah, true, actually.
Or you could exit in Hillbrow.
Yeah.
Like, that's how massive it is. It's like a whole city on its own. And that's the thing. Like, you know, I'm a firm believer in education should be affordable. But I do not believe that anything should ever be free, because once it's free, we don't appreciate it as much and we take it for granted.
Yeah, I do think that's true.
So I think to a certain extent what we should do, and we've presented crazy ideas moving forward, is you want to study, you have to pay the registration fee of $9,000 or $10,000, or whatever it is, right? So you pay the university. And then we say you qualify for a bursary, Andile. But your grades determine how much of a bursary you get. If you give us a simple pass of 55% on your terms or whatever it is on your modules, then what we will do is we will only deduct 25% of the fees off of what you owe. If you get 60% and above, then we'll deduct 30%.
So is this on the paying back portion?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So what will happen is you'll get to a point where you'll get 95%.
Yeah.
And we will say that if you get 95%, then we cover 95% of your fee.
Yeah.
And then you've got that little batch that you have to pay yourself.
Oh, okay.
And I think that way,
I love it.
Those that want to study further, those that deserve to study further, those that will get, and those that are serious, will get the funding that they need.
Okay,
this way, we don't just fund sheep and we actually fund leaders.
Yeah.
Okay, I need to make sure of, so I don't misinterpret your point. So are you saying that if I'm leaving matric and I got 60% average, that you're only going to cover 60% of my fees?
No, finished? I'm saying is that, okay, you finished matric, you got 60%. Well done, congratulations. You qualify as a candidate for my NASFA's funding program. Andile, what I do ask is that you have to pay the registration fee to show me your commitment.
You pay
the registration fee, which is roughly about, what is it, 9,000, it admits it's 9,340 Rand. You pay for that. And you say, I want to study civil engineering. And I say, cool, you can do civil engineering. We will cover your fees provided that your grades are of a certain level. If you fail a module, we're not paying for it. Yeah. You're paying for the module.
Okay,
I know where I stand. I'm sorry, I have to disagree. I have to disagree based on the first one is 9,000 Rand is a lot of money. Even 3,000 Rand is a lot of money when you're poor. And I'm talking from my own experience and just the struggles I've had where someone even because I also owe fees and I had to go make an arrangement and the guy is saying, give us this amount a month. And it seems like a small amount when you're saying it, but in reality, even if you say to me $500 a month, that's a lot of money for some people.
Andy, I was in no different position than you.
Yeah.
I took a gap year after matric and I saved up money for my registration fee. So if there's a will, there's a way. So this thing of I'm being completely honest with you.
Yeah.
My first job was I was a waiter, and then eventually I landed something decent in an office that allowed me to save a small portion.
Yeah.
So that I could come up with I think my registration fee at that time was 5 or 6,000 Rand that I had to save up. So what I'm saying, if you really want something and if you're determined enough to push for it, don't wait for a hand-me-down. Go and get it.
Yeah, no, I think you shouldn't wait for hand-me-down, but I still disagree. I think students like that should be funded, even that registration fee.
But we can't be giving everybody a freebie. Yeah. That's the problem.
But I think what should be done is that we need to be more. I think we need to address the problem of the type of courses we're funding, because there are a lot of courses in universities which NASFAS is paying for, which are, I mean, sorry to say it, but are useless. So So I think there needs to be an adjustment in that. What does the country need? If we need more people in IT, then provide more funding in those sectors and encourage students to do those.
All right.
You know?
You disagree with you paying the registration fee. What about the module for how you qualify for your bursary and how much we deduct off of your fees? Do you agree with that?
I think that's fine that you pay as a portion of how your averages were, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it should be at the end of your degree. And the reason why I think it should be at the end of your degree is either way, and I've had this experience, I've seen it also from other students. Some students have a bursary, right? And they say, we don't pay if you fail the module. But either way, when I do it next year, if I don't do the module, I'm stuck anyway.
So let's say we work on your basis of you pay it at the end of the degree.
Yeah.
What if you repeat the module 3 or 4 times? Who must pay for that?
Of course,
You're now robbing other individuals who could possibly be getting that funding because you're choosing not to take it seriously. So is it really fair?
Yeah, no, I think, no, it definitely is the case that, it definitely is the case that students also have a responsibility, right? But I mean, personally, I think the socioeconomic issues are things that can't be ignored. And they do definitely have an impact in academic performance. I used to see when I was in class, there'd be kids who would have parents with you know, house, you know, helpers at home who would help them with laundry and all those sorts of things, and who could afford extra lessons with tutors and all of these extra things. And I would have to go back to my res room, and I was lucky. I was on campus. There were other students who were off and still had to travel to get back home on a bus and all of that. And you're still expected to perform at the same level as this guy who has everything. And not every student has everything, but there, we have a lot of poor students.
Yeah.
And I don't think that you should be condemned to failure because of where you come from.
We're not saying condemn you to failure because from where you come from. I'm just saying this is an opportunity. You take it or you don't.
Yeah, I disagree with two things with what Andy just said. The first one is this whole thing of, you know, people who come from poverty, they do not make it in life and whatnot. We have to help them and so on and so forth. There are students where we see they get A's and they literally do not have electricity where they live. They are in dead poverty, but they make it. They get A's. You know, that's one thing that I have to disagree with, you know.
The second one is the
whole thing of, no, let's put important subjects and let's put money in those sectors other than putting other sectors' money. You know, each and everyone has their own individual things that they want to do. Mm-hmm. If doing dramatic arts for me at university is important to me, that's what's important to me, you know. And mm-hmm. it's important to the country because TV brings in money. You know, in the country. So I don't know.
But I do think, and my final point, I think a counterweight to all of this is something the government has said, but they don't really do. They just say it, they don't do it. Is one thing that would perhaps improve the pass rates, for example, is also just putting more effort into what in the US they call community college. We call it the TVET colleges. There should also be more emphasis placed and more funding given to those. Stop incentivizing people so much to go to university. A lot of courses that I'm saying I feel are not as important, or mm-hmm. not that they're not important, but they're not as scarce in the country, for mm-hmm. example, right? Why don't move more of those courses to TVET colleges, which are more localized?
So you're talking about stuff like Rosebank College and Varsity College?
Not that. Yeah, I know a lot of them. I think there's one in Ekurhuleni as well. The technical vocational colleges. Where you can get skilled as a carpenter or as a plumber. And in other courses, I mean, plumbing is a huge skill, even overseas, that is required. And we're not spending money on plumbers. How about if South Africa became known as the capital for plumbing? We just have colleges all over the country that just do plumbing, because we don't have a great sewage system and municipal water dispensation system, and have plumbers who will start their own businesses and then also have prospects overseas as well, you know. So it's cases like that, you know. I think there should be less of a focus of having certain courses at universities. Let's make TVET colleges as cool as universities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's where the focus should be.
Well, I mean, there's some ideas to move forward with, I guess, but look, it's one of those topics that we can never really find middle ground and agree on where we draw the line of how much money we give here and how much money we give there, and who's entitled to the money. But I think at the end of the day, one thing you should take away from this conversation is the fact that your past should never determine your future. And no matter, you know, your come up, whether it was in poverty or whether it was rich or whether it was in a rural area, if you work hard enough, I'm a firm believer that you can be the change you want to see.
No, that's absolutely true.
And for example, you come from a little town and you're in the big city now. You're studying at a massive university. You've broken the cycle. What do people normally in Witbank become or do?
Well, they normally work at the power station or on the mine.
Look at that. You're not even working at a power station or a mine.
You're working at a radio station.
And to them, that's probably a massive deal. They're like, wow, he's working at a radio station. We love it. You know, he's a big deal.
Yeah.
Marshall comes from a mining town as well. Yeah. And he's not a miner.
You know, no.
He just hangs around with him sometimes. But no underage minors. and that's the thing, you know. I come from a family where everybody, you know, believes that physical labor is the way forward. Mm. And I'm the only one who's in entertainment.
Yeah. And you come from another country in a way.
And on top of that, and I learned to speak English here. Prior to that, I couldn't say a single word. My point is, don't ever say I can't because of what previously happened.
Yeah.
I mean, for crying out loud in the bucket, we've got, you know, disabled athletes who are amputees and they're running faster than able people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is stopping you?
Yeah.
No, that's true.
I fully agree with
you. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And like I said, if you want to study and if you truly believe that this, you know what the funny thing is? If it's really your passion and if you really love something, you will find a way to make it happen.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You will find a way to study for it. You'll find a way to fund it, and you'll find a way to pursue your dream.
To make it
Nothing will ever stop.
That's
you.
True.
Yeah, true.
All right. On that note, we'll step off of our soap bucket and we'll resume with regular programming. Let's find out what's happening in your headlines.
Huge FM News. Engaging meaningfully with one another.
Wits Management says the university is owed around 1 billion rands in outstanding fees. It says if it allows more students to register without paying, the university will simply no longer be sustainable. And former Transnet CEO Brian Molefe has defended the repeated awarding of contracts to McKinsey and regiments, insisting it came down to something called confidential confinement. In our trending topics on Twitter, we have hashtag Umdeni, hashtag Fikile Mbalula, and hashtag Ronaldo. These and other stories at the top of the hour. For UJFM News Updates, I am Udirile Ravalao.
Engaging meaningfully with one another. UJFM Sports. UJFM Sports.
It was a bad night for Cristiano Ronaldo as Juventus got knocked out of the Champions League. Sergio Oliveira scored in extra time to send a 10-man Porto into the quarters of the Champions League on away goals despite a 3-2 defeat at Juventus. Porto played most of last night's game without Mehdi Taremi, who got sent off and progressed on away goals after the tie ended 4-4 on aggregate. Meanwhile, in the other fixture on the night, Erling Haaland scored twice as Borussia Dortmund sealed a 5-4 aggregate win over Sevilla to book a quarterfinal place after a dramatic 2-2 second leg draw at Signal Iduna Park. Back home, the Bulls have travelled to Nelspruit. Last night, they competed in the kickoff 2021 fixture against the Pumas, beating the hosts 48-31 at Bombela Stadium. It was sweet revenge for the Pretoria-based side, who were well beaten by the Pumas at the same venue in their final Carling Curry Cup League game. The other fixture on the night saw the Stormers beat the Griquas at home by a 38-32 scoreline. And finally, Athletic South Africa have lodged their own application this week to have Caster Semenya cleared to compete in the 800-meter event again. ASA revealed in a meeting with Parliament's Sports Portfolio Committee that they have submitted a second application to the European Court of Human Rights that's based in Strasbourg, France. The court is empowered to investigate any violations of the European Convention on Human Rights. That's it from Andy McDusty for now. Remember, I'll be back at the top of the hour with your final sports headlines.
Let's have a look at your traffic now in Midrand on the N1 southbound. The earlier crash before the Olifantsfontein Road exit has been cleared, but expect heavy traffic over there. Central Johannesburg on the M2 eastbound, there's a pedestrian crash after the Joe Slovo Drive exit, so expect slow moving traffic. Parkwood M5 Prince George Drive northbound, there's slow moving traffic towards Hyde Road. Diepkloof on the N1 north.